Hello. My name is Chris. Andre, and I'm Andreas. Welcome to this issue of our podcast. We're here in Zurich, Kreis 6, a restaurant, a lovely Monday evening, December 3rd, 2007. I have a coin here, and I'm flipping the coin. If it's tails, Chris gets to ask the first question. If it's a number, I'm going to ask the first question. It is a number. My question. Christian, since I had the honor of starting with you after you finished your PhD in 99, mood logic with you, in those 8 years, selling the company once, maybe twice, what have you learned?
It was 8 years of a very, very interesting and fascinating time. And there's a few lessons that I took away after all this time. The most important lesson probably is to have fun with it and surround yourself with amazing people. Whatever you do, if you have a chance to find the 1, 2, 3, if you're super lucky, 4 people that you really care about, that are smart, that are honest, that have integrity, that have a can-do and will-do attitude. If you find those people, you're already at 80% of whatever you want to do. Almost doesn't matter the outcome. So I think the most important in all these years was to recognize, once you found those good people, and try to take care of them, because they're all you got. And there's not going to be that many in the course of your lifetime. So if you find those, that's probably reason for doing anything and lesson number one in those 8 years. Good people that are honest, that know what they're doing, they can sustain any ups and downs, and they can have the most fun in changing the world.
I would add to that from my perspective, it is, yes, indeed, treating people well, integrity, as you mentioned it, but for me, it's also the joy of mentoring people. Not only taking care of them, but sharing with them. And bring the best out of my friends. Because if they do the same with me, it's extraordinarily empowering if that happens. I remember when we were in November 1999 in Hillsborough, starting that company in that house, in that large mansion. How fascinating and how intense it was to set up everything, to start from scratch, and to worry about the wording of every single question and the hiring of the first people. What an amazing experience to truly create, to co-create.
Fully, fully agreed. And that actually already leads to probably the second lesson in all these years, that you have this attitude, and it actually is comprised of two things. The first thing is, you do everything you do as if the universe depended on it. You give it all you got, while at the same time knowing that whatever you do is not really that essential in the whole scope of things of life. So you basically, you realize that you gotta kick ass. You gotta do now and just do the best you can possibly do. You and your entire team, everybody gives 150%. And at the same time, everybody can look at each other and start laughing, that knowing whatever we do right here is a great fun ride, but in the grand scope of things and the grand scope of universe, it's just a blimp. It's a little tiny dot, but it's a good dot. But knowing these two things and always knowing where you are in life is always a valuable perspective.
Certainly what I've learned was also that in 99, when I was still a social professor, I thought, you know, what I did was somewhat important. In retrospect, I can only sort of laugh about it. And I remember that a few years down the road, I gave a talk at Wharton, and people there in awe of Goldman Sachs saw on my resume that I had been consulting for Goldman while I was assistant professor for a couple of years. And they asked me, so, why did Goldman hire you? And I gave it some serious thought there, sitting at Wharton, and I realized why Goldman hired me. They just wanted to be sure that there wasn't really anything out there they were missing. But that was worth the consulting fee they paid me. Understanding the risk they took that something out of academia might disturb the universe. So, I think knowing what I've learned in those 8 years was that if you treat people well, or if you don't treat people well, there's no excuse for it. You can make a lot of money, but ultimately probably people who do that will, you know, remember that they made the money not out of integrity. But if you do, the outcome doesn't matter. If you do, then you created something. For me, it's always co-creation, doing it with others. For me, an element there certainly is that irrespective of what the environment was, whether it was at Stanford, where I was, you know, in 99, where I had an office, or whether it was RootLogic or later on as chief scientist at Amazon.com, I think people tend to focus on the things that differ between places. But it's also important to focus on the things that remain constant, where you remain constant. As you move from one environment, university, to another environment, startup, to a third environment, big company, to a fourth environment, starting something in China. So ultimately, I think it's about getting to know oneself, how one remains the same person in these very different environments.
A third interesting lesson I learned, and I made tons of mistakes in the meantime until I fully grasped it, is if you can, do what you think is the right thing to do. There's always tons of people who give you good advice, mediocre advice, bad advice. You never really know. But one thing you do know is what you think is the right thing to do. Be it in designing a product, marketing a product, it goes down to personal things, spending your vacation somewhere, whatever it is. You have gut feelings, you have instincts, and at the end of the day, it's probably the right thing to just go with them. Always listening and taking into perspective what else is out there and other people's opinions. But more often than not, it's the right thing to just go with what you think is the right thing to do at this certain point in time and or this certain decision. One example is when you're up for building a certain product. We were talking about startups before. There's a way to do your product in a B2B, business-to-business type fashion, or in a business-to-consumer type fashion. If you have the slightest instinct that what you do is meaningful, actually makes sense, creates value, and is essential, then just go with it and make it a business-to-consumer play. Even if you hear tons of people saying it is more risky, it is hard to get an audience, it is hard to retain an audience, it's very costly, whatever it is, if you feel it's meaningful, it's essential, it's different, it adds value, then go for it. Because if you can withstand daily business with hundreds or thousands of end consumers, then you created something that is very, very special and unique. And then again, no matter the outcome, hats off. You created value.
Yes. One element here is, I think, getting to know yourself is an element which helps. in grad school, one tends to do things which are always a little bit harder than what might really be made for. Renormalization in 3 minus epsilon dimensions is not necessarily what, you know, I enjoy doing in life. However, once you do this, then designing a product in a very engineering-focused way, putting in feedback loops, putting in little probes that measure consumer behavior where others didn't think about measuring it. An experimental physicist approach who basically doesn't know, but who is willing to measure it, to observe it, to build models. That's what I found is something I truly enjoy. And in those 10 years, 20 years, basically, where the main change in the world has been that communication, the price of communication has dropped by orders of magnitude. Creating data, incenting people to create metadata, has become possible where 20 years ago, there was just no way of reaching people, and more importantly, of people reaching back to you and telling you what they think. That is the essence of the work which I've enjoyed. And whether that is getting people to tell you about books at Amazon.com, whether it's about people telling you about music at Mood Logic, or whether it's about people telling you about the interests, about the relationships they want to have, the people they're interested in. It's always the same. It's about instrumenting explicit and implicit behavior and making it possible for people to genuinely have a conversation, to genuinely contribute what they want to contribute.
Another and maybe last important lesson I learned in all these years is to take your time and stop. And actually really think through where you're at and what is really essential going forward. In today's life, exactly because of what Andrea said, it's very, very simple to be busy, to talk much, to meet much, to travel much, to try much. But very often, and actually way more often than not, it's the wise thing to do to stop, to turn off all communication, and to think, and to really think through if you had only one thing you could possibly achieve this certain either day, week, or month, or if you're into more longer term perspectives, into this year or 2, 3, 4 years, no matter the time horizon, if you have the chance to stop and to really think through what's the one thing I have to achieve right now to move my idea or my life or my company forward, that usually brings you 20 times bang for the buck compared to just trying to be busy and projecting the busyness and the projecting success versus really having it. Because having it means to do very essential things that really matter. Projecting success is just being busy.
In that spirit, Christian, thank you for sharing the time with me. And let's leave the audience a few minutes where they can be quiet and reflect. And thank you for your attention.